This Sunday Show with Ed Finn with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from the Picasso Museum here in Malaga. And I'm delighted to be joined by my very special guest, Jose Librera, who's the artistic director here at the museum. Jose, a pleasure to meet you.
Buenas tardes. Nice to meet you too.
What a beautiful museum this is. Of course, Malaga famous with the birthplace of Picasso. Now, what's really special, Jose, is, of course, next year, coming up quite soon, is the 50th anniversary of Picasso. And I think people are very fascinated by him, by his life. Of course, he changed the world in terms of his art, I guess. Can we just go back a little bit to, I suppose, his early life here, his family life, and tell people a little bit about how Malaga is associated with Picasso?
Well, we are very, very near to the square, to the house where Pablo Picasso was born. But he was born long, long time ago. We need to imagine Malaga, 881, so at the end of the 19th century, and life was very different. Internet didn't exist. Not everyone had the possibility to travel like today to everywhere. So Malaga, as many other towns, not only in Spain, probably in Ireland too, at the end of the 19th century, was not so connected to the rest of the world. Some meters from here was born this little boy that very early was able to show his capacities to draw, his abilities to observe. And his father was a painter too, and he was an art professor, probably noticed that this very young boy was very talented. So he take care of it, he invest time in the young Pablo Picasso, and so we have here the origin, let's say, of everything, many things that he provoked after when the family left Malaga. They emigrate to the north of Spain because his father found a better job there as a teacher, but it's through that we are very near where everything started.
Yeah, so I mean, in his early life here, he was here, I think, until what age? Just a young boy. They left here at 12, when he was 12 years.
Yes,
is that correct?
Around that, he came once in a while again. It was not so easy to travel, but in summer, he came with his family. His family was here, even that he with his parents and sisters moved to the north. And it's very difficult for us to imagine how was life in Malaga this time. But it's clear that while Malaga was a fisherman place, the port was very important. Malaga still was very strong in agriculture exports. But at the same time, Malaga was a small cultural location. I mean, it was painters, it was some writers, but this was not the golden side of this town. So this is a little bit the context in which this young boy starts to be interested in art.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, I did a wonderful tour yesterday. I was up at the Alcazabar, and I mean, which is amazing, the citadel there and the whole history, of course, here, and the influences from the Phoenicians, I suppose, to the Moors. And it's one of the oldest cities in Europe, actually, Malaga. So it's actually steeped in history, and there's some amazing places to actually visit going way back into the early centuries, of course.
See, I mean, it's a classical situation when you try to construct something, a new building, and you go down to the hearth to install the pieces that will support this house, always you discover archaeological rest, no? So it's true, this town was already a town thousands of years ago, and this history is still alive in the underground of the town. But you, as you said, you can see here like a Phoenician rest, Roman rest, Arab rest, etc., etc. But this young boy was not so much interested in history, because end of the 19th century in Malaga, as in many other places, the basic education the school education was very reduced. I think that people had very, very, very little information about history, about what's going on. In our days, we have the privilege to know much more. So I guess that this boy was more interested. He had more curiosity in the future, in to know how will be life in other places. So this is maybe one of the reasons why he finally finished in Paris, the big capital of art at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yes, and of course he moved from here, as you said earlier, to Coruña, which was just another part of Spain, I said, when he was a young boy. It's fascinating as well, of course, you're correct about that, of course, the Roman theatre that we see today, of course, none of that was even there, of course, when Picasso was a boy, because the Malaga of today even has changed so much. He was always painting. His father, of course, loved to paint birds and loved keeping birds, and Picasso showed from a very early age, of course, he preferred to be doing this rather than be doing schoolwork or homework and stuff. So, as you said, he showed talent from a very early age.
If we look in his very, very early production, let's say, and he started with 7, 8, 9 years old, I think the first official painting of Picasso is a small oil painting in a very simple piece of wood, and its date when he was 9 years old. So let's say his first official painting, he was only 9 years old. What was possible to paint in this town then? The family, the father, the mother, the domestic situations, and the street. It was not more, much more, the street. So this is why this very young boy and then this adolescent became very sensible to the poorness in the street, because it was a lot of people without money. It was a lot of people with, say, existential problems. And then in the early production of him, we can see this sensibility, this approach to the weak ones outdoors, to the family, as I said, and of course, subjects that everyone who wants to learn to draw and to paint needs to do, body, still lives, etc.
And I mean, when you come here, what's lovely is you have the Casa Natale, which of course is the house of the birth, and that is really, really nice and very interesting as well. I hadn't done it before this visit and really recommend it. Jose, just give us a little idea, I suppose, about when people come here, sort of in the footsteps of what you recommend people will do before, of course, we will go on later to chat about the wonderful art and what you have here in the museum.
If someone comes to visit us, first, welcome. I will recommend first to look up to the sky. Many days in the year, the sky is blue, the temperature is warm. We are in a place with very beautiful vegetation because we are in south of Spain, in the Mediterranean Sea. And if we study the biography of Picasso, remember of that, it says agreeable landscape. It plays a role. Picasso was born here. As a young man, he was living in Barcelona, where it's the Mediterranean Sea too. Then he moved to Paris, but when he became famous and already he did a big part of his work, he moved to the south of France, where is the Mediterranean. So this is, you know, a contextual thing.
And that's very interesting, Jose, sorry to, but because, I mean, yesterday walking around here, I mean, now we're in, you know, nearly late October, and jacaranda trees, you have the bougainvilleas, the weather 23 degrees, amazing. You're in a beautiful climate here, of course.
Look, the chromatic proposal of Picasso, and you will find some of the colors from here. And this, I think, is interesting because he has been doing his career as a big artist in Paris, in the north, not same light, not same vegetation, etc., etc. With this, I mean that we keep the sense, our sense, we keep in our memory the smell, the colors, the sounds, etc. And I think it's possible to pick up here and there and there and there in the work of Picasso some rememberings of his time here. What we have here, we have a monographic museum who next year have jubileum too. So we will celebrate 20 years. So this museum opened 20 years ago. Malaga, two decades ago, was very different as now. The center of Malaga was no interest. No one wanted to come to Malaga. But the Museo Picasso Malaga is one of the factors why Malaga became today destiny for many, many people from many places, as you know, international place to go. Our museum is monographic. We have a collection dedicated to Pablo Picasso, and we are in a very beautiful building. It was an American architect who was in charge to restore part of this building and to construct a new parts. So we are in a, let's say, in a very, very small village. This is this museum, different houses, in which we hope you can enjoy art. You can discover who was Picasso, and probably you can have a good, pleasant experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I was saying to you earlier there was as well, I discovered yesterday, of course, the church, the beautiful church where he was born. You have the house where he was baptized, should I say, the house where he was born. And then you have some of his beautiful works here. So what you're saying there is amazing, just the early influences. And for people that are interested, of course, in this special year now coming up, will be very much the different places, I suppose, that he was in, but definitely here. To have that is just really lovely. And I said, the buildings here are just so gorgeous. The churches. I mean, I know you've 30 museums, Jose, in Malaga. People may not know that. And the Malaga Museum, of course, is free for people as well. And it's another stunning museum, the Carmen Thyssen, of course. So, you know, there is so much. If you're an art and culture lover, I mean, Malaga is kind of like a place to be, isn't it?
Well, I cannot say no, of course. And I mean, we unfortunately are the museum with more visitors, and we have, after the pandemics, that was a very complicated time for everyone, everywhere. But for us, it was very dramatic to close the door and then to wait. Now, coming slowly the end of the year 2022, we are getting slowly as much visitors as before the pandemics. What this means? This means that you can see, if you visit our museum, people from all over the world, people from Asia, people from different European countries, from America, from Latin America, because we are in Malaga, but we are in La Costa del Sol. La Costa del Sol is a long, many kilometers corridor, let's say, of places to enjoy, to have fun, for holidays. And now, if everyone comes to the Costa del Sol, if someone comes, I mean, to travel to Malaga, to the capital, and to visit this museum slowly is a must. You must do it.
Yeah, and of course, now we're going to take a short break now, Jose, and we're going to have a short music break. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the actual art that you can enjoy here in the actual museum.
This Sunday show with Ed Finn with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday show, coming to you this evening from Malaga here at the Picasso Museum with our very special guest, Jose Librero, the artistic director here. Jose, for people that come to the museum, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised, first of all, by its size, because it is, I suppose you could say, almost a boutique museum, because it's not huge by any means. To talk about the work that you've chosen here and to give people an idea of what they can enjoy when they come here, when they come to actually visit the museum.
One question is why Picasso is so famous, and it's not one answer. There are many answers. But what most people know from Picasso, the artist, not the person, is that he painted this painting or the other painting or the other one. I mean, they are like, let's say, some blue sheep, some fantastic works who are in many different museums on the world. But here what people discover is that he was not only a great artist, he was very prolific. This means that the earliest works that we show in our collection have been done when he was 14, 15 years old. And the latest ones that we show in the collection have been painted by him when he was more than 90 years old. So we are speaking probably about the artist that painted longer years in his life, and the one who produced more works of art than anyone. And you can discover this here. Our collection offers a kind of a trip, chronological trip, through the different periods, the different situations of Pablo Picasso, the artistic, aesthetic discoveries that he made. But his mood, his personal situation in this moment, in the 30s, in the 50s, in the 60s. And another thing that people get surprised is to see that he was not only very skilled in doing paintings. He was a sculptor. He was doing ceramics. He was a draw maker. He was doing prints. So this ability of Picasso using different techniques to construct his personal universe.
And in fact, I mean, the bicycle, the toro, the head of the bull, you know, even the simplicity of that for people when they come here. I mean, he just, that incredible eye that he had, or the, you know, the imagination.
I think he's a good example of one artist, one type of artist, who is not so frequent. I mean, which type? I mean, the artist that with something that is garbage, who is irrelevant, who is nothing, can construct something magical. And this piece that you are seeing, this bull head, was done in the 40s when he, walking through the streets of Paris, he saw old rotten bicycle. And then he converted part of this bicycle, some parts, in a bull head. And this means an industrial object, but with mythological characters and plenty of humor. Picasso have a very Andalusian Spanish sense of humor. And this makes, from my point of view, him a very different, because his personality, type of artist, as many other French artists. Very, very funny sometimes. Very, yeah. Very funny.
That does jump out at you when you see the handlebar and you see and you go, of course, you're like, wow, how did he think of that? And then, of course, the sisters and Lola, the other, I mean, really beautiful works that you have here as well. Just give people a little flavor of those.
Well, you are speaking about this bull head that is really one of the key works in the, let's say, way how Picasso deals with a sculptor. In the same room, we call this room bestiarium, no? They are representations of different animals, because Picasso was always, he liked always animals. In his life, always animals were in his domain. Space. He painted, what do you say?
Birds. Yes.
He painted cats. He did the sculptures of cats, dogs, bulls, many different animals that he painted. But at the same time, you can see in the next room, after the one that I'm speaking about, where animal representation are the protagonist, his knowledge of art history, the way how he was able to see with respect classic painters like, I don't know, Rubens, Tiziano, Manet, but the ability that he had to cannibalize them, to take what he learned from them and to convert all these materials and reference in Picasso's. Picasso is a kind of magician that always looks, catch, and converts whatever it is, high or low, in his own work.
Yeah, and in fact, you have a very interesting thing you have in Malaga here as well. The only one, the George Pompidou Center and the Cube, of course, here. And there's the girl with the skipping rope, this amazing sculpture that he did with a square around her head. And again, you know, it's good, I think. It's like when I'm chatting to you now, it's very nice to have someone explaining things to you. So it's probably, I think, for people when they come to the museum here as well, it's to get a guide probably to make it more, to, you know, understand things probably when you have the audio guide as well, of course. But interesting here, you know, just as you said, the sense of fun and just prolific way that he just could turn his hand to art, sculpture in an incredible way.
I think one maybe interesting word to use in this conversation is play. I mean, if we observe, kids like to play. And somehow, I think Picasso was in all his life, not only, but a kid, because he was playing, and he's a master of playing, like the sculptor that you are mentioning about this girl. I mean, it's possible to do a kind of three-dimensional representation of a sweet, tender, funny girl with irrelevant garbage objects, converting them in bronze parts of a... He does that. I mean, he's able to in his work, to relate to the horrible and to relate to the fantastic and playing. He's a good player. He was a very good player. I don't know if he was playing cards. I think so. But for sure, if he played cards, he will be a winner.
Shark. If we could just chat about cubism a little bit, because, of course, this was a huge breakthrough, wasn't it? Like a renaissance with Picasso and his friends that he associates with. Just to give people an idea of the dimensional idea that he had behind the whole birth of cubism.
Well, I mean, art had his rule. Art had the academy. I mean, the place where important skilled artists and professors say art is like that. Picasso belongs to a generation in the change from the 19th to the 20th century of young rebels who say, no, 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 I don't want to represent the world as you say it is. I want to construct my own world because I have as individual my own world and I want to express my freedom. Cubism is, from my point of view, one result of this research that he's doing, and somehow it's like, let's look your TV, and of course the TV have a central window light place, but if we look the TV from the other side, the TV looks different. So Cubism somehow is the invitation to look things from different perspective and to try to construct an image that is a synthesis of these different ways to see the world. Finally, is one, I think, interesting testimony of how in the 20th century, like James Joyce, for instance, with writing, tell us, take care, life is not only like they tell you that it is. Life can be paid in many, many ways. So this will be maybe a comparison of Joyce with his Ulysses and Picasso with his Cubist paintings.
That's a very interesting comparison, actually. Of course, with Ulysses celebrating its 100 years this year, and you could almost think that Joyce was to writing what Picasso could be to art, because probably there was this amazing imagination, like from which Ulysses, of course, displayed it very interestingly. So, yeah, because I think a lot of people would say that's a very good description there, because I think for the normal man in the street, sometimes they look at Picasso and they think, you know, they just find it hard to understand, I think, you know, because it takes a while to, like you, like Joyce, it takes a while to actually, you have to spend time, I think, Jose, with Picasso. It's not just something that it's a fleeting thing. And then I think there's almost a eureka moment when you get it.
Claro, I mean, one difference, it's a difference between the experience, which is something that doesn't happen only in our head. It happens with our body, with our emotions. And then the something different is to learn about the world. So in Picasso, we try as a museum, part of our responsibility is to give you tools, explanations, to install the words in a way that help you to know more with the head about how the artist was or why he did what he did. But the experience, well, in the end, is the most important thing, comes with our help. So I think it's a combination. We try to do our best that you have for to offer you a very nice, intense experience, but finally are the works. And if a painting or if a book is very good, maybe take us time, because it's same with beer, no? I mean, you are a beer town.
Cerveza.
There are many types of beers. And it's not the same one Guinness, but if I buy one Guinness in a supermarket here in the corner, as if I am in one of your fantastic pubs. So this is the same.
Yeah, and I can vouch for the fabulous beer here in Malaga as well. It's absolutely brilliant. And the food. That's very interesting. I think what's lovely about that is for people that really do want to discover Picasso, as we were talking about earlier, the whole to come and see the whole birthplace, the surrounding, and it's not just walking into a museum and looking at a piece of art really in it. It's just there's so many layers, and I think that's what I'm certainly enjoying so much about, again, rediscovering Picasso here in Malaga. But that experience, it's sort of ultra sensory, if I could be very artistic, Jose.
Hopefully. I mean, most of the people who come here are coming not because same reasons as you. You are working, but most of the people who come here are in holidays, in pleasure, in the free. So I ask them, take your time. Museum is a place where you can take your time to look, to sit, maybe to be disappointed, then to come back, to sit, and so on. So the visit is then starts to be an experience. And I mean, and we are looking for good experiences, productive experiences. And a museum is a good place to discuss, to disagree, why not, but to do it with respect, with curiosity. So
yeah, and I
come
think,
to the museum with curiosity and take your time.
Yeah, and I think for me, I mean, this must probably be my fifth time over the last 10 years coming here, and it's always fresh. And even now again,
thank you.
This visit, again, just even the way it's presented, the exhibits, of course, and I know there's the permanent exhibition, you know, so people will know that, but you always come away with something else. And I think that is what's truly kind of, it's kind of inspiring in a way, but it's just not once off.
No, we try to show, like as we did just like it finished 1 month ago, we show a big retrospective of a great Portuguese-English painter, Paula Rego, in collaboration with Tate, and we love to collaborate with other institutions, and now we are working in two new temporary exhibitions that will be our contribution to the celebration next year. So we think that in one side, collection is permanent, but temporary exhibitions provoke enrichment of the experience, and so we are trying to combine both things.
Brilliant. This is the Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from Malaga, from the Picasso Museum.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn, with Germany.travel. Feel inspired by Germany. Your adventure awaits.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the show this evening, coming to you from the Picasso Museum here in Malaga. Jose, I think it's wonderful to see how you're making Picasso accessible here to the normal person on the street.
We are normal people. I mean, I understand that sometimes people think that art is snobbish. And somehow it's true. If we see the prices of some art, if we see a part of this community, the artistic community, we can think that it's snobbish. But it's not only snobbish. I can tell that in these days we are getting around of 2,000 visitors each day. And I mean, these 2,000 people, they are not snobbish. They are coming because they have curiosity, because they heard about this great artist, or they know this artist. And we are very happy of that. I mean, it's not that we don't try to be very professional, and we are like in this bibliothèque where we are sitting with you. We like books. We have many books, and we invite people to write about Picasso. And we have one academic way to approach. But I mean, this is only one part. I mean, the great thing is that art is universal. I mean, art exists in every culture since the beginning of civilizations. I mean, the oldest things that we have are like are drawings, are like very simple but great representations of the world. And I mean, and everyone needs to deal with the representations of the world. Not all the world is in our mobile, unfortunately. And here is a place, we hope that with the art of this fantastic and very incredible imaginative artist, we can maybe get in contact with our one part of ourselves who have more to do with the sense, of course, with the intellect. But I mean, I think it's great to see that someone can draw in an incredible way. Drawing is something that kids do since they are very small. I mean, it's not snobbish to do this, but there are some kids like Picasso that was born very near from here, that moved to La Coruña, then moved to Barcelona, and then he arrived as no one. He was no one when he arrived to Paris. And he, only with his hands, his intellect, and his capacities and emotional capacities and talent, he became one of the most famous artists of the world. It's incredible. One person.
Yes, absolutely.
His hands and his capacity.
I suppose we couldn't chat, Jose, unless we just mention how I suppose he never, Picasso said that he would never return to Spain until democracy reigned here again, I suppose. And so it was kind of sad. He never got to come back to Malaga.
One of the great things to work in a museum, from my point of view, is that we help to make history alive. Picasso was in Malaga. The last time, excuse me, that Picasso was in Malaga was 901. He was only 20 years old, and he never came back to Malaga for different reasons. But when Picasso left Spain and the civil war started, and it was a military push and it was a dictatorship, as an adult, he said, I will not come back to Spain until a democracy is again. And unfortunately, he passed away before Franco passed away. So he never came back. But now in our days, to know that you are here, to know that so many people visit us, to work in this great museum with this team, somehow is a way to rescue his people to rescue his relevance and to subscribe that Picasso was not only, but he was a Spaniard too. Our French friends love to say that Picasso was French. Maybe he was French, but Picasso was Spanish too. And you can see this in his writings. You can see this in his way to deal with life. And we love to help, to promote, to show, to make, to clarify this aspect.
Yes.
Picasso, but in our days, and we see this, as we told you, as I told you before, Picasso belongs to everyone in the world. And this is the reason why this museum is open to everyone.
Wonderful. Well, Jose, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this evening. And I must say that Malaga, of course, it used to be the time that people would fly here and they'd go right down the coast. Looking at the tourism here over this last few days, Malaga's thriving, and certainly Picasso has been doing a great job because he's bringing a lot of people here. And I mean, the changes here, the food, the value for money, it's just a fantastic place to come for a holiday, for art, for culture, for food. And I'm just very jealous that I have to go home, that you can stay here. It's like,
well, thank you very much for your compliments. I mean, Malaga worked hard to offer everything that you are saying. And somehow I will say that Picasso never came back to Malaga after 901. Now with the celebration next year and with the anniversary of museum, I will say that Picasso will be here for many, many, many years. And this makes us happy. And I hope that you come back soon. And that soon, too, we can walk through Dublin following the writings from...
Yes, you must come. You must come. We'll invite you for Bloomsday next June. Wow, Jose. That's a date, right? I'll see you then.
I would love it to do it. I know about, but I never was there.
Brilliant.
This great festivity.
Yeah, we'll have a few oysters and a little glass of Guinness. Jose Lebrera, thank you so much for joining us this evening and so much for all your time. And this was a wonderful experience.
Thanks to you, and hope to see you and your audience soon in our museum. Bye-bye.